Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen, amen. Good morning, church. My name is Jason, and one of the pastors here. If you're a guest with us, we're so grateful that you've joined us this morning, and we hope that your time here is encouraging and that the Lord would use it to strengthen faith and to encourage us as we walk as pilgrims in the midst of a land that's not our home, as we continue to share the good news of the gospel. If you are a guest with us, we'd love for you to take a moment this morning, and you'll see just some connect cards around in the back of some of the seats. We'd love to hear of your time with us. It doesn't ask for much information, but we'd love to connect with you, be able to share a gift with you as you leave. So if you fill one of those out and turn it into a member of our host team, we'll make sure to get that to you. And then we'd love to connect with you. And if you so desire, we send some just weekly emails and things that'll help you know about things that are coming up and ways that you can be involved with what God is doing through his people here at Cowie. And we're encouraged by what God's doing. We're encouraged by just a heart to see the gospel go forth. And, you know, as we heard this morning, Jacob and Casey have touched down in Central Asia and really have began their journey there this morning. And we want to encourage, one of our hearts in this season is just that we would see our church with 100% participation in the mission that we're on for the glory of God in sharing the good news of his gospel. And that may be through prayer. That might be, as Tom was sharing, through giving through the North American Mission offering that we're collecting now. And you can give online, or there's a box as you leave that you can drop those things in. But collectively, when we participate, it's amazing what we can do together. Maybe it's you say, hey, you know what, I'm going to not eat out one day after church and eat some peanut butter and jelly and give that to missions, right? We have a pretty easy way to engage. And so we encourage you to participate how you can, to go and be part of what God's doing as we have opportunities like Honduras, and soon we'll go on another trip to Clarkston, Georgia, the end of April, and begin to look at some continued work there. And so be praying for those opportunities and take advantage of being part of those, again, as you pray, as you give, as you go, just to see the gospel go forth. If your first day with us is today, we're in the midst of a series called By Faith, and we're walking through the first part of the book of the chapter Hebrews 11. And we're looking at really just this list of these people that many times we refer to as heroes of the faith. And we've had some great just reminders of the faithfulness of God along the journey. We started out and we saw Abel, and we saw that by faith, we saw his faith really expressed in his offering and in his heart in the midst of that. And during that time, we saw this contrast right between him and Cain, and there was this moment where the Lord spoke to Cain, and he said, "Sin," he said, "is crouching at your door, and its desire is to rule over you." And we were reminded that day that we choose to walk by faith, but that the enemy roams about as a roaring lion. I told you about that day. It was that night. I opened the door, and there was a little possum crouching at my door. Now, he wasn't scary at all, but I will say that at about 11 something on Friday night, my wife woke me up from a good sleep. Now, I love her, and also I wake up to defend our home at any time, but this could have waited till morning. I'm not going outside, but here's at least not for this, right? But here's a little guy that was outside at our door. Yeah. I'd have probably reacted a little different if I stepped out and he was in the front right there. But the enemy, though, scripture says, roams about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We continued on that journey, and we looked at a man named Enoch. And Enoch, we saw in the scripture that Enoch walked with God and was not. He was gone, right? And we didn't know much about Enoch. We saw that he was a man who walked with God. He raised a family The next week, we looked at Noah, right? His great-grandson, and we saw just the impact of his life. But, right, he walked with God. He raised a family. He proclaimed the truth we saw in the book of Jude. And, right, and we understand that God took him up into glory. Noah, he believed God in the warning. And so judgment is coming, right? And he believed God, and he followed God's instruction. And by faith, he prepared an ark. And not only did it preserve the human race, right? But it was a salvation for his family. And so we see these moments. And today, we look at one who Scripture refers to as the father of our faith. And we're going to look at the life of Abraham. And as we do that, I want us to take a moment and open God's word together, Hebrews chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 through 10 together, and we'll focus this morning on verses 8 through 10. If you'll stand with me this morning in honor of the reading of the word of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Will you pray with me this morning? Holy God, we're in awe of your glory and your goodness. Lord, we read in your word, God, that your glory showed up as you spoke to Abraham. Lord, we read of his response, Lord, by faith, as he believed in the promises of God and he began to walk in obedience to your command. Lord, I pray that this morning, God, that you would remind weary pilgrims that we're not home. God, we pray that you would allow us in the midst of this journey of life, Lord, to walk by faith. Lord, we pray, God, that every person in this room, God, would take a step of obedience today in their walk with you, Lord, that they would walk in obedience as you would call us, Lord. And we thank you so much, God, for your word. God, we pray that if there's anyone here that's never taken that first step, God, and responded to the good news of the gospel, Lord, and just believed, yes. Lord, we pray that this morning, God, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, if there's any that have never taken that next step of obedience in baptism, Lord, we pray that they would commit to that, God, that they would begin to walk in obedience this morning. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your love for us, and we pray, God, that you would take your word and accomplish what you send it forth to do this morning in our lives, God, that the Spirit of God might take the word of God, God, that you might take that and change, God, and work in the hearts of your people. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. You know, I was thinking about this time of year, and I know for some of our college students, it's a spring break time or has been, and you know, for some of our high school students, they're maybe looking ahead for a week that's coming up where we're able to go and maybe spend some time with family. And if you've had children and you've been preparing for something like that, there's four words that our kids can say from the back seat of an automobile that can get on our last nerve on a trip like that, right? And y'all help me. Yeah, well, no, we're not there yet, right? And we see these kind of works. Now, I remember when my kids were small. Now, they're really good about those things now. But I remember when my kids were small, we would have those words come from the back seat fairly frequently. And I remember one time, I don't know about you, but when you're trying to take a trip and you've got young kids, we were preparing to go to the beach. And we had a little small SUV, and all the seats were full, and it had a small back compartment. But in our treasure hunts at yard sales, we're treasure hunters. We like to do that. And so we were looking, and I found this like roof rack that could hold all of our goodies. And so we're so excited because we got this roof rack, and then we got the car, and we got like long things that you got to stick between the kids' car seats. And so that morning, like, it'd been a crazy week. And so that morning we were going to leave, like a Saturday morning. We're trying to prepare how we're going to carry all of our stuff, how we're going to handle all these things. And so I'm trying to pack it all and get it all tied down, and the kids are up. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we have this goal, like we're going to leave at a certain time in the morning. And it's amazing how much stuff like we want to travel with us, right? Because the world we live in, we want to be comfortable all the time, and we want to have everything that we might need. So we're packing all the essentials that we get there and figure out are probably not essentials, right? We got every kind of chair, and we got the things to dig in the sand, and we're doing all that. So we get going that morning. We got everything packed down, and the kids have been up a while. I'm going to give them that kind of credit for that. And I don't remember which one of them, but we live not too far from town, and we're driving, and we kind of head out that morning, and we get a little ways down the road, and I hear from the back seat, "Are we there yet?" Right? And that day, I mean, most of the time, I can handle that statement really well, and there's no issues, and it's good. But that day, I was like, yeah, I'm just going to pull over wherever we're at and say we're there, right? And so we're at Franklin Ford, by the way. That's how far we got. It was like 20 minutes in. And so I just pull in, right, to all the car lot, and I said, "We're here. Let's get out. Welcome to the beach. Let's unpack our things. It's going to be great. We're going to have the best time," right? And I know, like, it was kind of funny in that moment, and we were joking and all those things. But my kids, what they were really saying was like, "Dad, I'm tired. It's been a long morning already. And, there's other times where we've been on a long trip," and they've said that from the back seat. And I think they recognize, like, we're not really there. But at one level, they're wanting to say, how much further is it till we're there? And so, got the GPS up there, and they can kind of count it down. And I'll be like, well, there's 2 hours and 41 minutes. But what I found in our journeys, that when we get weary in those places and the kids are wondering, like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? When I'm able to look at them and say, we're not there yet, but I want to tell you something, when we get there, man, it's going to be good. When we get there, there's a pool. And when we get there, we're going to pull in, and we're not even going to unpack. Like, we're just going to get our suitcase out, and we're going to put on our swimmers, and we're going straight to the pool. And then we're going to go to the beach, and then we're going to find something good to eat. And when we get there, it's going to be awesome. And no, we're not there yet. But if you'll hang on a little while, one of these days, right? And here in a few hours, we're going to get there. And here, as we read and look at Abraham, what we can see in his life is he could have been the ultimate "Are we there yet" guy, right? He, we start with a destination. We know where we're going. But what we understand about Abraham is he was called to step out and begin to walk. And he was going not knowing where he was going. And how does he do that? How do you walk that way? And how do we live in the midst of this broken world? How do we live as pilgrims that are not home yet? Like, how do we do that? And it is by faith. And what we see in Abraham's life is that by faith, Abraham walked in obedience, holding lightly the things of this world while holding tightly to the promises of God. And you see it on the screen, right? By faith, Jesus followers, we hold lightly to the things of this world while holding tightly to the promises of God. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called. Can I tell you that the journey of faith begins with God's call? It begins with a call of God. And we see point number one today is that we're to listen carefully to God's word. We're to listen carefully. We see Abraham, he heard God's word. And what did God say to him, right? Let's look at Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. We see this. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Right? Remember that kid's song, Father Abraham had many sons and many sons. I won't sing long. And he had, yeah, right? And so are we, right? We are heirs of that promise, right? And Abraham, he heard the voice of God. We see in this Abram, right? And we'll see that God changed his name later, but he heard the voice of God. And it stirred up faith in his heart. And he believed God. And he believed God so much, right? And we understand that what he is being asked to do here is big, right? God is saying, you're going to have to leave some things behind. God's essentially saying, I want you to trade a certain thing, right? The things of this world, and to trade in one thing. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to give you another land. And I'm going to lead you. And through you, he says, listen, I'm not just going to bless you, but through you, and we'll look some more at this next week, but through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, right? And God chooses this one man, right? And there's brokenness all around, and we've seen this cycle, Genesis 1 through 11, of man's rebellion, right? And we see that chapter 11, this Tower of Babel moment, where they're like, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. And then in Genesis chapter 12, God says, I'm going to pick this man. And what we're going to see next week, like if you're here and you say, you know what, I want a faith like that, and I want this. And man, I really recognize that like my faith is weak. We're going to see that Abraham and Sarah didn't always get it right. And in the midst of imperfect faith, we have a perfect, holy, and sovereign God who is working in the midst of all that for his glory and for our good. And we see, right, Abraham, yes, and you're called. I'm gonna bring you out of this place, right? And you're going to exchange the temporary things that you may hold on to for something far greater. And through you, my desire is not only to bless you, Abraham. I'm going to bless you, but through you, all the nations of the world, all the peoples of the world, they're going to receive blessing, right? He's called out of something. He was right there in the midst of this pagan city, right, worshiping false gods. And he says, listen, you're going to leave your country. I'm calling you out of your country. I'm calling you to leave your relatives. I'm calling you to step out from your father's house. He says, listen, I'm calling you out of those things, but he says, I'm calling you to something so much greater. He said, I'm calling you to a land, to a city, right? He said, whose builder and maker is God. He said, I'm calling you to far greater things. He says, listen, I'm going to show you those things. And when we look at the life of the disciples, right? When we look at the life of a Jesus follower, Jesus would call his disciples and he would say, Matthew 4:19, he would say, follow me. He said, you used to be fishing for fish, right? But he said, follow me. And he said, if you'll follow me, there's going to be something. And you don't know everything about the journey. You don't know all the things that are there, but step by step and moment by moment, as we walk along this journey, he says, I'm going to transform you and I'm going to make you something. He says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And the call to follow Christ is a call to be sent by Christ for the glory of God as we respond to the good news of the gospel, right? And so God calls him out of something. He calls him to something, right? And God speaks to him, right? This is a crazy moment. And we think this morning, like, how does God speak? And many of you, like, we know the obvious answer to that, right? God speaks through his word. Somebody said, you want to hear the audible voice of God? Like, read his word out loud, right? And this is, and we understand that God speaks primarily through his word, that God speaks through our circumstances. We all have seen times where our circumstances and where people that are in our lives that we understand that he speaks, but primarily God takes the word of God. He speaks through the word of God, and the spirit of God takes the word of God, applies it to the hearts of the people of God, and he transforms us and he gives us wisdom for the journey, right? We find wisdom in the word of God. We find peace in the Spirit of God. People say, how do we make decisions? Like our lives, a lot of times we're trying to figure out like what's God's will in this certain situation? How do we make decisions? And I tell people, well, first and foremost, right? This is number one. We want a word from the Word. We want to see what the Word of God says about this. And so above all things, we're saying, what does the Word of God say about this? We see in Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 15, that there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. So we want counsel from people that are walking with God. So godly people, right? So if we're walking through a situation, we just don't want anybody to give us it. You don't need advice like from your lost coworker to tell you how to do. Because listen, what we understand is there's times that the things of this world are going to be easy to hold on to and the pleasures that it promises. And there's times that it's not easy, right, to walk in the ways of God. But we submit. Listen, we don't walk based on our feelings. We don't walk based on that. We walk according to the Word of God. And God has given us, when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we receive the Spirit of God. And we can find peace, right? So we have a word from God. This is why we're right. A word from the Word. Yeah. We have wisdom of godly counselors, and godly counselors are going to take the Word of God and help us to see that in the midst of our situation. And then we have peace from God, right? The Bible says in Philippians 4, don't be anxious about anything. And a lot of times our decisions, the things that was going on, man, we can find anxiety. Some of you may have walked in and there's tremendous anxiety. Like, what do we do in these situations? And the scripture would say, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication. This is prayer and urgent and desperate prayer, right? That we are praying to God. It says that with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known to God. And then the scripture says that the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This peace of God that's beyond all comprehension. So a word from God, like the word from the Word, wisdom from godly counselor, and peace. Right? Those are the things that we're searching for as we make decisions. And we want to measure everything. Everything against the Word of God. We measure everything against the Word of God. So we walk carefully. And this picture, this is intimately, this is a walk with God where we're daily abiding in Christ, where we're walking in fellowship with Him, where we're praying without ceasing, where we're living moment by moment dependently on God. So we walk, right, in dependence on Him. We walk in what we already know. So there's so much that has been revealed to us about the Word of God and through the Word of God. And so we walk in what we already know, and we seek wisdom for those things that we don't know. And so we walk in those things. And when there's a lack of clarity, when there's these kind of moments where we're searching, right? This is an opportunity for greater intimacy with God as we seek His face in prayer, as we desire to find that peace from God, and we seek His wisdom through His Word. So we walk in those places. So we listen carefully to God's Word. Number two, we trust fully in God's plan, right? Abraham believed God's Word. Hebrews 11:8, keep going. He says he obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. Now, something happened on the inside of Abraham as he heard the Word of God, right? God began to speak about this land, right? God began to speak about what He was going to do in Abraham's life, and something happened on the inside of Abraham. And what happened on the inside of Abraham, it changed everything about what was going on outside as he walked in obedience to God's command, right? He believed what God was telling him to be true, and it changed everything, right? Because faith, biblical faith, right, it results in action, right? It results in obedience. Abraham, he obeyed God's Word, right? So we see number three, right, that we walk according to God's Word. Faith on the inside. We hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hear the Word of God. There's something that happens on the inside, and faith on the inside results in obedience on the outside. And what did Abraham do? He went out not knowing where he was going. Man, that's hard. Right? He went out not knowing where he was going. Right? By faith, Jesus followers, we hold lightly to the things of this world while holding tightly to the promises of God. Now, Abraham going out, he had to leave some things he cared about. This was not easy. This was not an easy call, right? This was at least at the fleshly level, right? He says, you're going to leave your father's house. You're going to leave the things that are comfortable. This whole world, like everything around us, we live in a world where we're constantly trying to find ways, and the world's trying to constantly sell us on the comfort that we can experience in this life. And man, so much of my life, we try to fill in all these things so that we can live comfortably, so that we can do this. I was talking to Casey before they were being sent out on Friday, and we were there talking, and we were just talking about Abraham and some different things there. And he said, you know, we should be living in tents, but we're trying to build the Taj Mahal, right? Because we live like this is the end, right? We live in that way so many times, right? And it's not easy to turn loose. Like, if I surrender this, what about this? What about this? And our verse for this week, right? I consider all things lost. Paul said, after experiencing fellowship and intimacy with Jesus, right? I consider all things lost compared to the knowledge of him, right? He says, I consider it rubbish, right? It is of no value. See, Abraham trusted God and he believed in the promises of God. And many of us, we want to know God's will. I've shared this with you before, but a young man, when I was searching with, like, what is God calling me to do? Is he calling me to preach? How's all this working? And I'm wrestling with those things. And I was kind of moping around like Eeyore, not maybe as bad as Eeyore, but a little bit. And he's like, how you doing? I'm like, man, I'm trying to find God's will for my life, you know. That was kind of how I felt. Maybe it didn't sound that bad, but that was kind of how I felt. And this guy, man, he was younger than I was and just, man, following Jesus. And so I'm trying to find God's will for his life. He said, well, let me tell you a couple things. He said, number one, he said, God's will is not lost. And he said, number two, it's not your life. And when we get those two things, everything changes, right? The scripture says that we've been bought with a price, right? And that we, when we begin to live our lives for something so much more valuable and so much more beautiful, right, than we have ever imagined, right? And God says, you know, a lot of times I would say, well, God, if you'll show me your will, I'll do it. If you'll just tell me what you want me to do, I'll do it. But the way I believe we respond to the gospel and the way that we respond to God's call on our life is this: God, I surrender. Now you tell me what you want me to do. Because here's what we're doing. We're saying, God, if you'll tell me what you want me to do, I mean, as long as it ain't like go to Central Asia, or as long as it's not leave this, as long as it's not leave. We have like all these things, right? All these stipulations, all these things. And if we get down to the core of it, all of them are really based on our comfort and our enjoyment and our selfish desires, right? And we battle this, right? In the fallen world that we live in the natural places of our flesh, we battle those kind of things. But God says, hey, my desire is that you would desire to know me. And if you'll trust me, I'll show you. And if we'll seek him and we'll trust him as we walk with God step by step, he'll reveal his will in our lives, right? We'll walk in obedience to him. So we trust in the Lord. We take a step. Jesus followers, we hear the word, believe the word, and obey the word. And biblical faith is followed by obedience in our lives. You know, we've got a lot of things that we hold tight to. But biblical faith, right, this trust in God, it causes us to abandon lesser things for lasting things, to live for joy that is not found in this world, right, in the things of this world, but joy that's only found in him, living for heaven, right, living as aliens and sojourners in the midst of this world, looking and longing for a homeland, right, faith in God's promises, that we believe and we trust in him, and we walk by faith. The book of James would tell us that faith without works is dead, right, we're not obedient first, right? But because of our faith, right, we believe and we trust and we walk in obedience. Faith without works is dead. It always results in works. And if we're not obeying, then we must not fool ourselves into thinking that we are walking by faith and that we are living in that, because faith produces action. Now remember, it's not perfect faith. We're going to see Abraham and Sarah and the bumps along the journey. And how many people have seen that, like, through life? Man, there's highs and lows and moments where, man, we're getting it. And then there's moments where we're not. But God is faithful and he is so good in the midst. And Abraham, throughout these journeys, throughout these moments, God would remind him of the promise we would see. And he would look to heaven while he was living on earth. And he began to live for eternity. Verse 9 and 10, he says, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And like Abraham, Christ followers, you are called to leave the comfort of our culture, to live as an alien in a foreign land looking for the homeland. Listen, he was living in tents, but he was promised a great inheritance. And how do you do that? Right? By faith. It's the only way. By faith, we hold lightly to the things of this world while holding tightly to the promises of God. And every day we believe God and we keep walking. We believe God and we take those next steps of obedience. And some of you in this room, you may be in a season where the journey is hard. You may be in a season where you've been walking by faith, and maybe in the midst of circumstances, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of difficulties that are all around. Maybe in the midst of that journey, you're like my kids in the back seat of the car, and from somewhere down deep within you, you're saying, are we there yet? And the reality is that you look around and you know that you are not there. We know that we're not there, but we need a reminder, and in God's goodness and through his word this morning, he speaks to us, right? And through the word of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and he reminds us, right, that we're not home yet, that there's a heavenly city, right, that we're living for, that there's a time in eternity, and by faith we keep living, right, as aliens, as sojourners, as pilgrims on a journey, holding tightly the promises of God in the midst of the weariness of this world. An old missionary couple had been working in Africa for years, and they were returning to New York City to retire. They had no pension. Their health was broken. They were defeated, discouraged, and afraid. They discovered they were booked on the same ship as President Teddy Roosevelt, who was returning from a big hunting expedition. And on that ship, they were not recognized by anyone. And everywhere they went, Roosevelt was receiving all this fanfare. And he would talk to his wife, and he says, you know, we've given our lives in faithful service in Africa. We've poured our lives out. And here this man, he's been on a hunting trip, and everybody's going crazy over him. And he said, nobody even cares about us. Nobody even cares anything that we're doing. His wife said, you shouldn't feel that way. He said, I can't help it. He said, it just doesn't feel right. And the ship docked in New York. There was a band waiting to greet the president. There were dignitaries and the mayor, and the papers were full of all the details of his arrival, but nobody noticed this missionary couple. They slipped off the ship, and they found a place to live and began to figure out how they would continue to live and make a living and provide for themselves in that city. And that night, the man's heart was just broken, and he told his wife, he said, it's just not fair. He said, I can't take this. He said, God's not treating us fairly. His wife replied to him, why don't you go in the bedroom and tell God that? And a short time later, he came out of the bedroom, and now his face was completely different. His wife said, what happened? And he said, the Lord settled it with me. He said, I told him how bitter I was that the president would receive this tremendous homecoming when no one met us as we returned home. And when I finished it, it seemed as though the Lord put his hand on my shoulder and simply said, you're not home yet. Listen, we're just passing through. We're sojourners, fellow heirs of this promise, right? Abraham was called out, and he camped out, and he believed God for the city that he had told him about, and he lived and walked by faith. And we understand that one day we will experience joy that is greater than any joy that we can experience here in this life, and that as we live and walk by faith, that God will allow us to experience joy in knowing him and walking with him, and the joys that we have will never end. And so we don't live for the temporary things of this world, but we live for eternity. And we crowd, are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, church, we're not there yet. But one day when we're there, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be amazing. And the things that we're going to enjoy there, and there'll be no more heartache, and there'll be no more pain, and there'll be no more suffering, and there'll be no more heartache. And we'll be in the very presence of our great God. And so what do we do in the meantime, right? We set our affections on eternity. We live for the glory of Christ. We endure suffering for his name, right? We consider all things to be lost, to be rubbish compared to a relationship with him and to walk in his glory, right? We live by faith. In Proverbs chapter 3, we see kind of a summary, right, of the call that we would walk in. Trust in the Lord, right? The scripture says, with with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Every day when you get weary on the journey, be reminded of the promises of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding in all your ways, in everything. When you're making decisions tomorrow, when you're walking, listen, we are to pray without ceasing. We are to live, not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, right? With prayer, with supplication, right? We talk to God. We walk with God in all of our ways, in everything that we do. Acknowledge Him, not just on Sunday morning, not just in a Bible study on Wednesday night, but out of an overflow of this daily abiding life with Christ, where we spend time with Him. And out of that overflow, we walk by faith and we live for the glory of God, right? In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. He, day by day, step by step, moment by moment, He will give clarity to His will for your life. Listen, we walk by faith, and it begins by trusting in Him with all of our heart. See, we trust Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You've never believed and trusted in the finished work of the cross. And listen, it begins by trusting God with all of our heart. And I love what Warren Wiersbe said one day. He said that we're not saved by making promises to God. We are saved by believing God's promises to us. Listen, we recognize that God has a purpose, that He has a plan. We trust Him. We understand and we walk by faith. Listen, we recognize that we have sinned against the holy God, that our sin has removed us from being in line with His plan and His purpose. We're separated from God because of our sin. But in God's great love, He demonstrated His love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't leave us there. He sent His Son Jesus into the midst of this broken world, and He lived a sinless life, died on a cross for our sin, and on the third day, right, he rose again, right, and we are celebrating and are reminded of the greatness of our God, and He rose from the grave so that you and I could be forgiven of sin and restored in relationship with Jesus. And what we do, we hear the good news of the gospel, and there's something like when Abraham heard about that homeland, and when we hear about the promises of God and the trust and the way that God has made for us to have a relationship restored with Him. We believe, right? Something happens on the inside. We believe and trust God and confess, Lord, we are sinners in need of a Savior. We respond to the finished work of the cross, and we believe, trusting that what Jesus did on that cross, that it was for us. And by faith, we are saved. And we begin to walk in obedience. We begin to take steps of faith. The very first step of obedience is to being baptized as a believer in Jesus Christ. And so maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus for salvation. You've never just responded in surrender, believing in the promises of God, that if you would trust Him and believe, surrender your life, turning from your sin, right, leaving the things of this world, and turning and trusting in the promises of God, that by faith He would save you, that He would make you new, that He would give you His Holy Spirit. Like, we can't walk in obedience on our own, but He gives us the Holy Spirit to live in us. And when we begin as we just walk it step by step in Him, to walk by faith, and He gives us the ability to walk, to be obedient. I want to pray for us this morning, and we're going to respond in worship. I'm going to respond this morning just to the grace of God that He has given us. And I want to challenge you this morning to take a step of obedience. If you've never trusted in Jesus and surrendered your life to Him, in Acts 2:38, we read these words, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? This morning, your step might be just repentance and believing, turning from your sin and trusting God. Maybe it's taking that next step of obedience and baptism. Maybe you say, you know what, I've trusted Christ for salvation. I've been born again into the family of God, but I've never been baptized as a believer. I've not taken that next step of obedience. And this morning you say, I'm gonna walk in obedience. The only time to obey God, and the only time we can obey God, is in the present. Delayed obedience is disobedience. May we walk in obedience to him, and may some weary pilgrims this morning be reminded that you're not home yet. And may our eyes get off the circumstances that have caused us to be weary and the delays in the journey. And may we fix our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith, looking for the homeland that is to come. God, we love you. We thank you. God, we pray, Lord, as we, God, just respond to your word this morning, God. We're so grateful, God, for your promises and for your faithfulness, God. We thank you that you made a way where there is no way, and that, God, you are the way. So, Lord, we pray this morning you help us walk in obedience, Lord, to take steps of faith on the journey. God, we long for that homeland. And we thank you for making us heirs of this promise. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand and worship?